All right. Our next case is 17-3232, Hayes Medical Center versus Hargan. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Daniel Hedick on behalf of the appellants. I would like to do three things with our few minutes here this morning. First, I would like to discuss the math behind one of our key contentions, which is that the Secretary has already applied the reductions that he's now applying a second time. Next, I would like to discuss how this duplicative reduction removes the harmless error component from the Secretary's violation of the statute's command to apply the reductions to the weights when the Secretary, in fact, applies it to the rates. And finally, I'd like to discuss how this duplicative reduction also leads to an independent statutory violation requiring the Secretary to base payments on these hospitals' reasonable costs in the base year. Your Honor, we have other meritorious arguments in our briefing. Given the time constraints, I'll rely on the briefs for those. So first on this, I think, again, one of our key contentions, which isn't that these hospitals shouldn't have these reductions applied to them once, as all other hospitals do, but that they should not be applied twice. And to understand what's going on here, Your Honors, Medicare reimbursement is notoriously complex, but here we're dealing with the fundamentals. The two primary factors driving Medicare reimbursement is a payment rate. It's a dollar figure. It represents the cost of treating the average Medicare patient, and an awaiting factor that's assigned to each diagnosis. And that says how that diagnosis compares to the average cost. So if a diagnosis is twice as expensive to treat as the average Medicare cost, it would be assigned a weight of 2.0. And then if, for example, the standard amount was $1,000, take the $1,000, that's the federal rate, multiply it by the weight. Because heart failure is twice as expensive, you get payment of $2,000. Obviously, those weights change. The relative resources it takes to treat a patient in a given year changes, and Congress has told the Secretary to recalibrate them annually. The Secretary does that. The Secretary in that process also makes sure that the average DRG weight after that recalibration process remains the same.
And what's the consequence of a recalibration? What happens as a consequence of that?
The relative weighting of the various DRG weights. So again, in this example, the heart failure, maybe in the prior year, it had a DRG weight of 2.0. But let's say all the other diagnoses get more expensive, all of a sudden heart failure would no longer be double. It might be 1.8. But that recalibration, because it's just the only purpose is to adjust the relative weights, it should have no independent effect on total reimbursement. It should be budget neutral.
Does it deal with the case mix that is associated with that?
Yes, it does, Your Honor. So the case mix index is nothing more than a hospital's average DRG weight. And it's a good indication of how sick the patients are on average that the hospital treats, because if its case mix index is 2.0, it's treating patients that are twice as sick as the average Medicare patient.
But doesn't case mix involve moving diagnoses from one group to another? Isn't that a consequence of that?
Yes, I mean the case mix is going to vary based on the each individual hospital is going to have its own case mix, and its case mix would vary year to year. It could go up or down.
Okay.
And I think it might help to make it concrete. So in 2006 is a key year for us here. In 2006, the Secretary determined that the DRG weighting factors, after recalibration, after normalization, after the average was maintained, were still 2.3% too high to be budget neutral. The Secretary, however, did not apply that 2.3% reduction to the DRG weights themselves. He decided instead to apply to the payment rate. Now, for most hospitals, again, that doesn't matter, right? You're multiplying the rate by the weight, so 2 times 5 is the same as 5 times 2. Both are going to equal 10. In this case, it makes all the difference in the world because Congress appointed 2006 to be a new base year, and in calculating the hospital-specific rate, which is the rate used for SWL community hospitals like and Medicare-dependent hospitals like my clients, that DRG weight is used as a divisor. One step in that process is to divide the hospital's reasonable costs by its DRG weight. Now, as Your Honor pointed out, the hospital's case mix index is going to vary. It might go up or down. But the one thing that's clear is that whether that case mix index went up or down or stayed the same, it is 2.3% too high to be budget neutral. And we know that, remember, because the Secretary applies that 2.3% reduction to the payment rate, which is used as a multiplier for every DRG weight. Whether the DRG weight happened to go up or down, it's going to be multiplied by a rate that's been reduced by 2.3%. Why? Because the DRG weights overall have been left 2.3% too high.
Why does it matter how the Secretary gets to budget neutrality? Why does it matter whether it's a divisor, it's used applied twice against the rate, or as you argue, should have been applied to the weighting? I mean, we need to get to an answer, a budget neutrality answer, and this is one way to get there. Why shouldn't we defer to the Secretary's expertise in doing that?
Right. Your Honor, it shouldn't matter, and that's one of our arguments. But in a moment, we'll talk about the statute's command that the adjustments be applied to the weights.
It should not matter.
It shouldn't matter.
Yeah, but in your position,
it does matter.
For your clients, it does matter.
Exactly. Exactly, Your Honor.
And why is that?
Well, and that's – so the concluding part of this tour down basic algebra is – the resulting, because those weights have been left 2.3% too high, the resulting hospital-specific rate is going to be 2.3% lower than it would have been had the Secretary merely budget-neutralized the weights themselves. Our argument, Your Honors, is that reduction, we're not complaining about that reduction. That reduction is the same as a 2.3% reduction that gets applied to the federal rates. We're fine with it. We'll take our lumps like everybody else. That reduced hospital-specific rate is going to be multiplied by an inflated DRG rate weight. A weight that's been left 2.3% too high, everything is fine. What's at issue here, Your Honor, is the Secretary's, and the Secretary originally did it that way for several years. In the original 2002 and 2006 calculations, the Secretary left it there. More recently, in 2009, the Secretary incorrectly believed that these hospitals were avoiding that 2.3% reduction. So we never applied it to you, and is now insisting on applying a separate 2.3% reduction. And our argument, Your Honors, is that that separate reduction is duplicative because it's already been captured in the
Why is that legally problematic?
Well, it's problematic, I think, for two reasons, Your Honor. And maybe actually three. One, it's legally problematic because there's simply no rational explanation for applying the same reduction. The point of the reduction is to achieve budget neutrality, to apply it twice. If you need a 2.3% reduction to apply budget neutrality, apply it once. To apply it the second time is irrational on its face. The other problems, Your Honor, is that it leads to these statutory violations where Congress has been I'm sorry, Your Honor, before I get there, if I may, the Secretary's primary response to this argument, he dedicates 9 pages of his brief, it's what he said in rulemaking, is, we normalize the weights, but we haven't budget neutralized them. And that's why we need to apply this separate 2.3% reduction.
And I was going to ask you about that. Why doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, so we agree with the first part. We agree that the weights have not been budget neutralized. We think the Secretary has the implications of that fact exactly backwards. It's precisely because the DRG weights have not been budget neutralized that they have been left inflated. And when they're used as a divisor, they lead to a smaller hospital-specific rate. The same way sharing a pie among 10 people is going to lead to a smaller slice than sharing it among 5.
Does that yield a smaller aggregate payment to your clients then?
Yes, it does.
Why doesn't the normalization problem deal with the issue as it relates to the average diagnosis group weight?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, can you repeat the question?
Talk to me about what is the effect of the normalization process then.
Sure. The normalization process, so again, all that is after the recalibration, the Secretary makes sure that the average DRG weight remains the same.
Correct.
Let's say 1.0. You would think, and it does have some budget neutrality, I think it helps to keep things budget neutral, but the Secretary has found in practice that despite keeping the average DRG weight, payments would still go up simply because of recalibration. And so there's this additional reduction that has to be made, and we don't dispute that.
Okay. And so where does the problem come?
The problem comes, Your Honor, that because that additional reduction was made to the rates, to the payment rates,
yes,
the weights have been left non-budget neutral, exactly right, non-budget neutral, 2.3% too high. And when they're used as a divisor, so it comes down to the fundamental, it makes all the difference in the world whether you're multiplying by number or dividing by number. Having your salary multiplied by 3 is very different than having your salary divided by 3. When the Secretary is multiplying by the numbers, it's fine. In this only instance, in calculating the base year, so in 2006, 2002, just for Sokolomi hospitals, it's the only time that number is used as a divisor. And precisely because it hasn't been budget neutralized, precisely because it's been left inflated.
Well, that's the point. Indulge me.
Sure.
Why is it inflated? I mean, as I understand it, there's a recalibration process that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a normalization process that goes on. Why doesn't that address the neutralization factor?
Yeah, that gets into kind of more complex math than above my pay grade. I think the simple answer, and the Secretary explains it, and we don't dispute the explanation, while the average stays the same, the actual DRG usage, so the DRG weights that increased, let's say, the average is the same, but the ones that increased tend to be utilized more, used more by more expensive hospitals, teaching hospitals, hospitals with higher wage indices, et cetera, so that even though the average stays the same, in practice, payment is still going to increase in 2006 by 2.3%, even after normalization.
Okay, so even after normalization, there's going to be an increase. There's going to be a continued increase, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at, albeit clumsily, but what I'm trying to get at is if there is a continued increasing process and there has been a normalization, there has been a recalibration, normalization, why is it the case that in order to get the budget neutrality, in fact, there doesn't need to be a separate adjustment made? In other words, why, at least as I understand the Secretary's argument, that's exactly why we're doing what we're doing.
Right.
That's what they would say.
Yeah, Your Honor, we agree that there needs to be one. We contend that it happened in the calculation itself, that 2.3% reduction occurred because the resulting hospital...
But I thought you said that didn't fully create budget neutrality as it related to that average figure, right?
Well, we're talking about two different... So when I say it doesn't fully create budget neutrality, I'm talking about overall, the system overall for all Medicare hospitals.
Yes.
Then you have this unique circumstance of the base year. And when you have the base year, these hospitals should have the prior year adjustments applied to them, too. Our contention is, and we've shown it with the math, that they have had it applied by having this DRG weight that was left 2.3% too high used as a divisor.
They've used it twice. They've double counted, I guess, is my simplistic interpretation of what you're saying. Is that
correct? Yes.
Boil it down?
Yes, that's it, Your Honor.
And is it that the Secretary doesn't understand the Secretary has done this, or is it that the Secretary is deliberately doing it and harming your clients at the...
I think it's based on a misunderstanding, Your Honor.
All right.
The Secretary says normalization didn't achieve budget neutrality, therefore we have to apply a separate adjustment. Usually it's true. For the federal rate, it's true. What he failed to acknowledge is that in this case, because those inflated weights are being used as a divisor, that adjustment has already been captured.
So then we're comparing our expertise with the Secretary's expertise on something like that, and that seems dangerous.
Right. Your Honor, it's basic math. The Secretary doesn't have a monopoly on 2 plus 2 is 4. But beyond that, if I may, I only know I have a moment left. You know, originally the Secretary, we contended that it should make no difference, the fact that the Secretary applied these reductions to the rates instead of the weights. Originally, the Secretary agreed. During notice and comment rulemaking, a commenter said, hey, you're getting a different outcome than had you merely budget neutralized the weights themselves. And that's the purpose of this whole exercise, is to budget neutralize the weights. So you can ask a simple question, Your Honor, in terms of the expertise. The simple objective question is, which methodology would yield the same payment as if the Secretary had merely budget neutralized the weights in the first place, which is the whole purpose of this exercise. The Secretary originally argued that his current method yields the same payments. To commenters that said otherwise, he issued generic denials. In D.C. District Court, he said, it's the same thing, it makes no difference, even providing an example purporting to show that it made no difference. It was only after we showed the fatal flaw in the Secretary's example, gave our own examples showing that it's not the same, that it does lead to a payment difference, that now the Secretary says implausibly, oh, I knew that all along. And it's necessary because otherwise you're going to avoid the prior year adjustments altogether.
Let me just ask you a macro point. A lot of what is driving this is the Secretary's interpretation of the statute. At no point have I seen in your briefing that you've contested that to the extent that the statute is ambiguous, we can apply Chevron deference to that interpretation. You accept that, right?
We don't think that the statute is ambiguous. We think the statutory command where it says...
Well, we've got a real problem here because, I mean, obviously, as you say, or at least as you alluded to, the statute's pretty convoluted. And so why, to the extent that there is not a direct command on how the Secretary should reach budget neutrality, it creates the question that is asked is we're left silent. And that is where the rulemaker comes in to rulemake, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And below, the district court applies Chevron analysis. Why the Secretary invokes Chevron? Why wouldn't that be applicable here?
Your Honor, because the statute is clear on its face. It says that the Secretary shall adjust the weights each year, and then it says such adjustment shall be done in a way that's budget neutral.
That in a manner, right?
In a manner that's budget neutral, right. Which adjustment is a such adjustment? The adjustment to the DRG weights. And the Secretary, again, previously agreed with that logic until he disagreed, and once it was proven that his methodology did not, in fact, yield this aid payment as if he had merely budget neutralized the weights themselves. I see I'm out of time.
Thank you, Counsel. I will allow you some rebuttal if you wish.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Carlene Zubricki on behalf of the Secretary. I want to start out with what my colleague referred to as the purpose of the budget neutrality statute. I think the D.C. Circuit was very clear in Adirondack when it said that the clear command of this statute is to achieve budget neutrality in aggregate payments across this entire inpatient perspective, this entire sort of corner of the inpatient prospective payment system. And the Secretary has done that in a manner that, as the D.C. Circuit also held, was well within her discretion in this area. It's a hyper-technical area. I want to be very clear that this is the Secretary is not double-applying any budget neutrality adjustment. Plaintiffs' arguments on the math are incorrect. They fundamentally misunderstand the relationship between the diagnosis, the DRG weight groups, and the quantity of any given budget neutrality adjustment in a year. I think
why isn't it applying the 2.3%, you know, accepting that figure twice on the rate side of the equation?
So I think that the easiest way to understand this might be if you have a plaintiff's reply brief in front of you by any chance. The plaintiffs basically say that what you can tell from a budget neutrality adjustment of 2.3% is that that must mean that the weights are somehow 2.3% too high. And that's just not right. The DRG weights stay the same over time because of the normalization process. Then what the Secretary does is thinks about how, okay, keeping all of the DRG weights the same over time, there are these other factors in how different hospitals get paid that are unrelated to the actual costs of treating, you know, patients with a particular illness or in a particular diagnosis-related group.
Example being what?
Teaching hospitals are one example. So if it just turns out that a particular diagnosis-related group that's been sort of, you know, modified because of changes in technology or costs for treating that group, if it turns out that DRG group is disproportionately represented at a hospital that gets paid higher rates for sort of reasons unrelated to the severity of the patients, the aggregate payments across the whole system might increase, even though sort of the DRG weights have been normalized so that the DRG weights for the same patients, reflecting the severity of the diagnosis and what it actually costs to treat the diagnosis, have changed over time.
Are you saying that the appellants would receive the same amount of payments under the rival calculations? The math is the same, or are you saying that the Secretary is within the Secretary's authority to treat them differently as the Secretary is doing?
So I think that there are two different types of rival calculations. One argument that the plaintiffs are making is that the Secretary was required to adopt an approach under which the Secretary would only, I guess, affect the weightings. It wouldn't apply a budget neutrality adjustment. It would somehow make it so that without a budget neutrality adjustment, it could achieve budget neutrality. To do that, the Secretary would have to fundamentally change what the DRG rates actually mean and what they reflect in the world. And I think it's possible that the plaintiff's payments would be different if the Secretary adopted that approach, but it would not be different by this sort of 2.3% number that they're talking about here. Another argument that I think plaintiffs are making
the aggregate payments would be different,
yes,
correct?
The Secretary thinks that it could take an approach under which, in theory, you could achieve budget neutrality by by changing, again, the relationship between the DRG rates in this manner. But, again, that would sort of change what the DRG rates actually do, which is why the Secretary adopts this approach, where it makes it so that the DRG rates don't change over time and then applies a budget neutrality adjustment. I want to get to your, I think the other part of plaintiff's argument is that they should be entitled to an amount that sort of directly corresponds to the amount that they would be paid based on their 2006 rates, using the example of a 2006 base year. And our position is, you know, there's no magic to this. If you're being paid under the federal rate, you're paid a rate where you take a patient and you multiply it by a data that's derived from historical data. If you're being paid under a hospital-specific rate, instead we look at the data from the sort of cost per discharge in 2006. In both of those cases, we apply a budget neutrality adjustment. Of course, if we didn't apply a budget neutrality adjustment for the years prior to the base year, we don't dispute that plaintiffs' payments would be lower, but that would be because we were not applying the cumulative aspect of the budget neutrality adjustment.
What role does case mix play in this analysis?
So the case mix, I mean, our examples, and in general, we assume that a case mix is staying the same over time. What a case mix is measured by is the average, it's the average DRG weight of a hospital's patients. And again, because of the normalization process, that rate doesn't change in any way that's correlated to the budget neutrality adjustment over time. So when plaintiffs say things like, they respond to one of our examples, and this is at 19 in the reply brief. They say, although the hospital might treat similar types of cases, which in 1996 had a DRG weight of 1.0, those same patients would now have an average DRG weight of 1.014. That's wrong. That's just not what would happen with respect to any particular group of patients. The hospital could certainly still have the exact same mix of patients that would therefore, and with the same DRG weight. There's nothing that we can read into how DRG weights would change for a group of patients over time by looking at the amount of the budget neutrality adjustment.
And so what is the budget neutrality adjustment designed to do that requires it to be an additional factor, as they would say, a double counting factor, but what is required? What is its function in this situation then?
Its function is to account for the ways that that DRG weights are correlated with other factors in the Medicare payment system unrelated to the severity of a patient's diagnosis. So it's designed to achieve budget neutrality in aggregate payments across all of these hospitals. I think one of the confusing things in plaintiff's briefs, frankly, is that there are times when they suggest that the goal is to have budget-neutral payments for particular hospitals, or that the goal is to have budget-neutral weights. But the clear command of the statute is to achieve budget neutrality in aggregate payments over the entire system. And the Secretary has done that. It's done that in a way that didn't require it to sort of fundamentally change what DRG weights even reflect in the first place. And it's done so in a manner that we think is well within the Secretary's discretion. And the Secretary is well aware of the consequences of applying this, and believes that that is the most equitable way to be distributing the kind of the burden of the budget neutrality adjustment across all of the hospitals in the inpatient perspective.
So I take it then your position, at least as I understood your opponent, the Secretary misunderstood what was going on. I mean, I take it your position is you fully aware of what the consequences are of the math.
That is exactly right. Certainly the Secretary is well aware of the consequences of this. And the consequence is that when you look at the hospital-specific rate, you take their 2006 example, you take their 2006 cost per discharge, and you apply the budget neutrality adjustment in the same way as for anybody else. And that does yield a lower payment than if you did not apply a budget neutrality adjustment.
Why has the Secretary gone back and forth then on the methodology as they suggest?
I'm sorry?
Why has the Secretary gone back and forth? Prior to 2008, they used...
There was a period of time for the Medicare-dependent hospitals, which is one of the subsets, where the Secretary issued incorrect instructions to the intermediary. And I think the answer is that it was oversight and it was confusing. And when the Secretary realized that it had done so, when it more carefully considered the question in its 2009 rulemaking, it makes very clear that it was considering exactly the types of arguments that plaintiffs put forward here, arguments about redundant adjustments and that sort of thing. And the Secretary responded to that and said, no, this is, you know, we've, now that we've taken a look at this, there was an error. They didn't retro, you know, they allowed the hospitals that were sort of the beneficiaries of that error to keep the extra money, and corrected it going forward. So, I mean, again, there was an oversight. I think the Secretary has been candid about the fact that that was a mistake, and I don't think that the Secretary's thoughtful and current approach should be undermined on the basis of that mistake.
What was the effect of this alluded to comment in front of the D.C. Circuit that and how that suggests some level of arbitrariness in front of the D.C. District Court, I think.
Right. Just to be clear, it was in front of the D.C. District Court.
Which is
and
what I just
the Secretary
said. Go
said,
ahead.
We don't think anything the Secretary said there was inaccurate. The plaintiffs are taking kind of out of context a response that we were making to the kind of our understanding of the math equations that the plaintiffs in that case were putting forward. And there was an assumption baked into the hypothetical or to our response to the hypothetical, which was that DRG weights would stay the same between two different hospitals, that the DRG weights would stay the same over time. We didn't really spell that out. And plaintiffs came back and sort of said, no, the DRG weights don't stay over time. They change by this 2.3%. And so they were just really making the exact same argument that they're making here, and our position is still, no, of course we didn't bake in the kind of the change over time into our response to that hypothetical, because it was, you know, it was wrong in exactly the way that we understand it to be wrong now. But I think just the more general point is I do think that, frankly, I don't think sort of reconstructing the details and sort of how we were going back and forth with plaintiffs with different math equations that were being put forward in D.C. District Court is, frankly, there's enough going on here that I would encourage
the court to
set the record here.
Well, there's enough going on, but if we're charged with determining whether the Secretary has acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner, if the Secretary is speaking out of one side of its mouth in one place and speaking out of one side of its mouth in another, that is the hallmark of being arbitrary, isn't it?
And we certainly don't believe that that is what is going on here. I don't think that the Secretary said anything inconsistent in the D.C. District Court with what it is saying here. But in any event, I mean, even if the court did find that there was something inconsistent about the way we responded to the hypotheticals there, I do think that what the court should be looking at is what the Secretary has said in rulemakings and before this court, and I think that that is all makes clear that the Secretary has thought about this and understands the consequences, which is a lower payment for hospitals paid under the hospital-specific rate.
The way you use the normalization percentage for the DRG weights, doesn't that introduce a lack of comparability between the federal rate and the hospital-specific rates?
No. So,
in other words, the hospitals are getting less, I guess, than they would have under the federal rate.
Yeah, I don't think it does, again, because the reason that we normalize is actually to prevent changes to the DRG weight from changing over time. There's nothing about that sort of causes it to deviate from the federal rate. So to the comparability that the Secretary is talking about.
If you do, though, doesn't that introduce a tension with the statutory command?
Again, we don't think that we think of the statutory command as to achieve budget neutrality and to conduct the recalibration of the weighting factors in a manner that achieves budget neutrality across aggregate payments in the entire system. And the Secretary, and I would direct the Court, I think it's the 1990 proposed rulemaking where the Secretary says we're going to do this in a two-step process because we don't think Congress actually wanted us to sort of apply a new adjustment to the weights themselves after we recalibrate here. After we normalize the recalibrated weights. And again, the reason for doing that is if you were to adjust to sort of fuss with just the weights in that right way, you would make it so that the weights reflected something about the kind of aggregate costs that a particular DRG rate had on the Medicare system as a whole instead of kind of the actual sort of cost of treating different diagnoses. And the Secretary uses DRG weights as kind of a basic unit, and so it applied this budget neutrality adjustment.
Beyond that beyond the general charge to achieve budget neutrality, do you think that the statute provides you clear direction on the manner in which you are to do that, or do you believe that it would be appropriate for us to apply Chevron deference to the Secretary's interpretation of its duty?
We do not believe there is any kind of a clear direction in the manner in which we reach budget neutrality. We think that the statute, actually even just the use of phrasing like in a manner that achieves budget neutrality in the aggregate payment suggests that Congress realized that this was going to be an area for the Secretary to exercise expertise in a very sort of interstitial area. If there are no further questions, we ask the Court to affirm.
All right, Counsel, why don't you add 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Three minutes.
Three minutes, Ben. I'm sorry.
Your Honors, the Secretary's explanation for the mathematical error in the D.C. District Court briefing is continuing to evolve. I think maybe the simplest evidence of the error is that in his footnote in his current brief, he says that the point of the example was to show that budget neutrality, this is footnote 12, that budget neutrality adjustments to the rates would yield the same outcome as applying it to the weights. I think there's a typo. It says rates again, but it was meant weights. And saying, oh, we didn't explain certain assumptions. The purpose of that example was to prove that they're the same. The Secretary now admits that it's not the same. In fact, in the district court briefing in Kansas, the Secretary took a different track and said it's irrelevant, different briefing, even if it is a mistake, we didn't rely on it, et cetera. There was a mathematical error there, Your Honors, that showed the Secretary did not understand the implication of the math here.
Well, beyond the broader, beyond even if one were to assume it was a mistake, I think the Secretary's position is who cares? I mean, the reality is that's one statement made in the course of a, you know, district court battle that doesn't have anything to do with the thoughtful, considered in their, you know, sitting behind the computer analysis they've done in their regulatory documents. I mean,
right.
So aren't those the things that should be the focus of our attention?
Yes, Your Honor. And as I mentioned before, the Secretary made the same mistake during rulemaking when a commenter said, look, your methodology doesn't yield the same payment as if you had budget neutralized the weights. The Secretary doesn't say what he says now. We'd make other adjustments. Here's why. Just issue generic denials, your misunderstanding, normalization, et cetera. But more fundamentally, Your Honor, it's the nature of the mistake, too. What the Secretary did was compared his current payment methodology to a methodology where the reductions were applied to the weights, right, and purported to show equity between the two. In fact, the numbers were equal. The key difference is that the Secretary applied the same update factor to the payment rates. Now, the update factor, that's where that 2.3% reduction comes in. So by applying the same update factor, the Secretary showed uniformity between his current methodology and a methodology where the reduction was applied to both the rates and the weights. The Secretary actually gave us the best proof of the duplicative nature of this adjustment, because he applied the same update factor, which should have been increased by 2.3% if he's instead applying the reduction to the weights. He used the same one. So his method is the same as a method applying the same reduction to both the weights and the rates. And there's simply no rational explanation for that, Your Honor. One last point. The Secretary says the reason why you would get a different payment if you applied it to the weights is because you're avoiding the prior budget neutrality adjustments. That's not true. If you apply the reductions to the weights, the 2006 weights would be reduced by 2.3% for all prior years. Those weights would be reduced by 2.3%. These hospitals' payment rate is multiplied by that reduced weight. So we're not avoiding prior year budget and trial adjustments. They're there. They're in the DRG weight. But that makes all the difference, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Your time's expired. We appreciate the arguments. Complicated case. Counsel, you're excused. And the case shall be submitted. The court will take a short recess.